everyone. The first reading is from Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 17. And Paul is writing about pressing on towards the goal. Join with us. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Whakarongo ki te kupu a te wārua ki te hāhi. Thanks be to God, kia māu tonu tanu kupu kia tātou. The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Chapter 13, beginning at verse 31. Te whakamoemiti te kororia ki te atua. Jesus' sorrow for Jerusalem. At this time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go tell that fox, I will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must keep going today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Look at your house, look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the gospel of Christ. Te rongopai tēnei a te karaiti. Praise to Christ the Word. Whakamoemiti tia ia te kupu mana.
Good morning, everybody. Let me just give you a bit of an apology first. A short time ago, Mark and I had to swap our Sundays around, which was fine, so I changed my diary, changed everything, but I did not change the passage I was preaching from. So Mark, at the very last minute, agreed when I begged him at the back of the church, "Can I please speak on the passage I was going to speak on next week, and he will speak on the bit you've read about this week, all right?" So if it doesn't make a lot of sense as to what I'm saying compared to what the readers have just said, that's just because Daryl Gardner was Daryl Gardner again, you know. Got the job about 90% right, but not quite the whole lot. So apologies for that. So I'm going to read the passage I'm speaking on, and you'll all memorise that one for next week when Mark speaks. He'll test you on it. It says in Luke 13 again, verse 1. "Now there were some present at the time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, 'Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree, planted it in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree, and I haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year. I'll dig around it, fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. Now, a couple of things. If any of you have had children or worked with small children, you know they're often the first words they speak when they're toddlers is mummy and daddy, and the next phrase they say is, it's not fair. It's not fair they have to eat my vegetables, or I have to go to bed, or my brother or my sister. It's just not fair. And for the rest of our lives, we never seem to outgrow that statement, do we? It's just not fair. And one of the questions, one of the big philosophical questions for all sectors of the world, not just Christians, religions, philosophers, atheists, and stuff that has been written on endlessly, is why do good things happen to bad people and why do bad things happen to good people? And there is no simple answer. Naturally, I'm going to give you one this morning. But there is really no simple answer. It's a very, very complex issue, particularly if we look at it through a Christian lens. And here we have two examples. We don't know anything about them historically, but where Pilate had obviously murdered a bunch of Galileans, and a tower had fallen on and killed a bunch of people. We don't know any more about it, but we know those sorts of things happen. Now, we know Pilate was a brutal man. And, in fact, I was reading on him, but on him to prepare for this morning, and one of the things it says is that he was so brutal, there was a time he murdered a whole bunch of Samaritans, he was recalled to Rome. So we know when the Roman leadership thought you're brutal, you were pretty brutal. And we don't know anything about the story, but somehow he had murdered, probably in the temple, a group of Galileans. And another thing, this tower had fallen over and killed 18 people. And one of the things we know about the Jewish people at the time is they thought that bad things usually happen because you weren't a good person. And we know this in John 9, where the blind man is healed. Jesus heals a blind man. One of the first things they ask him is, well, he was blind from birth, so who sinned, him or his father? It had to be the result of some kind of human sin. That was their thing. It was a very judgmental way. So the tower fell on those people. Well, they must have done something bad. We know Pilate's an evil man. We don't like him. But the ones he killed, in some ways, they must have deserved it. And, of course, you had to define at that point what was a good Jew. And, of course, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and others spent vast amounts of time working out what was a good Jew. Because if you were a good Jew, there was less chance for tower falling on you. That's kind of part of the thinking, because God somehow did all this stuff. And if I wasn't a good Jew, maybe I would be one of those 18 people, unfortunately, walking under the tower when it collapsed, or who faced Herod's wrath. Of course, the reverse was also true, and that is that if you were a good Jew, good things would happen to you. And the way they defined a good Jew largely was you obeyed the laws of Moses. And, of course, the laws of Moses were quite complex, and, of course, a lot of them weren't specific enough. So an example I've given here before, but a great one, is they had to work out how to be a good Jew means you obey the Sabbath. You're not meant to work on the Sabbath, but what is work and what isn't work? And there was this great law they came up with where you were allowed on the Sabbath to wash your hands in the water, but, of course, the question would be, if the woman got that dirty water on the Sabbath and tipped it out on the ground, was the woman, because it was always a woman back then, was the woman tipping the water out working? And they had a big discussion on this. And they decided it was work. And this is the reason it was work. That if she spilt the water on the ground and the water filtered through the soil and hit an ungerminated seed, and the water hitting the seed caused that seed to germinate and begin to grow, that was the same as working on the Sabbath. I mean, you can tell these people needed to go fishing or something, eh? You know, kind of get their minds in the right place. But the point was that what they had was so many rules and regulations of how to be a good Jew, it was impossible to live up to. And following on from that was this thing, that therefore when bad things happen, in some ways it was often God allowing it to happen because they were bad Jews, hadn't done the right things, and if good things happened, it was sometimes God because they had been the good Jews and not tipped their water out on the Sabbath and the myriad of other rules. Now, the first thing we learn from this, and the point Jesus makes very clearly, is don't judge them. You're wrong. Because the minute we do that, the minute we say, oh, they deserved it, we're actually judging them. And we're saying somehow the sin they did is worse than the sin I did. And one of the clear things we get from scriptures is God sees all sin the same. All sin separates us from God. Now, while on this earth, some sin has more consequences, right? If I, if I tell a lie to Mark, which I would never do, but if, you know, probably no one will ever know, and there's no consequence on earth. And if Mark finds out, he's such a wonderful guy, forgive me anyway. If, however, I, wreck Mark's car, the police will find it, I'll be arrested, there are more consequences. That makes sense? Very simple. But the fact is, I'm separated from God either way. So the minute we begin to define some people are worse than us, we're playing God. There's only one person who can play God, and that's God. And the minute we begin to say, therefore they deserved it, we've entered into the realm of sin in that very statement. The second thing is when we begin to say, good things happen to people. It's good when good things happen to people. Oh, let me give you a silly little example. Well, I shouldn't say a silly example. Forget that last statement. Let me give you an example. We sung the Keith Green song at the beginning. Keith Green song brings back lots of memories for me in the late 1970s. For those of you who remember Keith Green Ministries, Keith and Melody Green, I think it was Agape Ministries, was it? I can't remember. And they were kind of American, kind of, you know, he looked a bit like Ian at the back. Younger version of Ian. Had this big beard and hair, and he played the piano, and oh, there he is at the back, Ian. And he was a cool guy. Remember, this is in the age of records and cassette tapes. And if you wanted to read something, you actually had to read it, you know, get a little magazine and stuff. And he was really good. And Keith Green died in a plane crash. Now, I might have these facts wrong here somewhere along the line. But of course, one of the things that lots of people were saying around the world, when I say lots of people, it means you read it in magazines back then and heard tapes and cassettes, was how did we lose such a godly man who was having such a big impact on the world, who was doing, and he was doing a lot of good for a lot of kind of young evangelicals at the time. How could that happen? Well, the reason it happened, I think the plane was overloaded, from memory. Small plane. I'm not sure. I can't remember the detail. It was really nothing to do with him being a good man or a bad man. Plus, he wasn't the only one who died in the plane crash. I heard another example. We'll remember the big tsunamis a few years ago in Indonesia, you know, where thousands of people died. I remember going doing the rounds on social media as how there were a group of Christians who used to meet up on one of the hills above this place every whatever day of the week it was and pray for the people. And they were saved, of course, from the tsunami because they were up on the hill praying. And this was a wonderful thing of God's provision, and therefore, I don't know, some kind of weird connection that if we prayed, we'd be saved from the tsunami. Two interesting things about that. I know some Muslim people in the group of Muslims on the next hill who did exactly the same thing praying to Allah, and they said the same thing. Isn't this a wonderful story? It was actually all to do with people being on a hill. Is that making sense? They could have been on the hill smoking weed, and they would have been saved. In fact, my guess is there were people up there smoking weed who were also saved. The point being, if we're not careful, we begin to theologize things and create things that are nothing to do with God. I don't know why bad things happen to good people, and I don't know why good things happen to bad people. I know they do, and a lot of times it's more natural consequence than anything else. And the one thing we must never do is judge. Either they deserved it because they were bad, or they deserved it because they were good. It's wrong. It also says in Matthew, God causes the sun to shine on the just and the unjust alike, and he causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust alike. So the only real thing we get from the Bible is God wants, you know, because I'm preaching this morning and leading communion, I should get a little bit of a bonus from God. So maybe when I walk outside today, the sun will be a little bit brighter. I mean, it's just nonsense. Does that make sense? We've got to stop this type of thinking. And it's rampant in the evangelical world. So we shouldn't be judging because we're all sinners. None of us deserves God's grace. But all of us are able to receive God's grace because God is good, whether I'm good or bad. I mean, Steve, I won't say too much, Steve, but when we're sharing at the beginning there, he said, the thankfulness thing, he said he's thankful that he's still married after moving home. Yeah, all of us understand that, mate. They say, by the way, I don't know if you've seen this, but on stress surveys, moving home is the second most stressful thing after death of a loved one. So well done, right? But I'm sure the day of moving your home, if a tower fell on you, Leah would have said, oh, he deserved it. Yeah. You know? Yeah. but yeah, I mean, that's the point, isn't it? Sometimes we're at our best, sometimes we're at our worst. God's grace is wonderful. The second thing is that this is the crucial thing. Being a follower of God, or being a good Jew, obeying the laws, being a good Christian, whatever that may mean, but trying to serve God, does not mean we will have a better life and does not mean we will not have the bad things happen to us. Sorry. I wish it was different. It does mean that whatever happens, God is with us. It doesn't mean that we should expect bad things to happen and we shouldn't pray for good things to happen for ourselves and others, because like you, I've prayed for lots of people over the years and a lot of my prayers haven't seemed to work in the way I want them to work. I've known a few Christian leaders over the years in other parts of the world, I won't say who they were, who were wonderful, you know, wonderful churches doing wonderful things, who got seriously ill, and the world would start international prayer chains, and they never recovered. It doesn't mean we shouldn't pray, because some people do recover, but it's not a magic trick. I hate it when people say, if more people prayed, they would be healed. The other problem I have with that, as great as it is we pray for all these people who are well-known, never stop praying for them. What about the people who aren't well-known, who have nobody praying for them? What does this begin to say about God when we preach this nonsense? If we join an international prayer chain for Ukraine, which is wonderful, we should be praying for Ukraine, but we have to begin to ask the question, with all this prayer going into Ukraine, at the moment it's not working that well. And secondly, what about Yemen? We've forgotten about Yemen. It's a disaster in Yemen. What about parts of Somalia? It's an absolute disaster in Somalia. I'm not trying to paint a grim picture here. What I'm trying to say is we pray. It's good to pray, but it's not a magic trick. I wish it was. And sometimes God works because we pray. Sometimes God works and we don't pray, because God is wonderful. So God can and he does do good things. Some we see, some we don't see. We are just called to be faithful. And so what does this actually mean for us? I think there's a few things. Number one, it's good to not judge people. One of the ways, because after a while we get quite clever at this, we don't judge, obviously, do we, you know, but get clever. But the way we do it is this, isn't it good? You know, oh, it's so sad they got sick, but they kind of deserved it. Isn't it great that that person has got a new car? They've been serving the Lord well. Well, yeah, it's good they got a new car, but it's usually because they had enough money to buy the car. It didn't drop down from the skies. Does that make sense? We've got to stop this judging. When something good happens, we should say, thank you, Lord, it's happened. Good to anybody, Christian, non-Christian. When something bad happens, we should say, Lord, I don't know why it happened, but somehow may you be in the midst of that story. So what do? Is we have to realize God's grace is enough. We have to realize we're sinners. We're never good enough to get the good stuff. But God is good enough to do whatever God thinks God wants to do at any time. And whether I understand it or not, it's always right. Even though most of the time, we're like that 2-year-old child who just continually says it's not fair. Even though the parent knows it is fair. I want to close with a little thing I read recently from somebody. I won't give the story, but there's a young woman who died in the prime of her life from a horrible disease. A Christian woman, been through Bible college, not New Zealand story, been through Bible college, the whole thing. Lots of people praying for healing. Never happened. She died, and just before she died, she wrote a prayer. And part of the prayer, she was talking about how she used to, you know, where is God in all this? Why isn't he healing me? Why is this happening? But at the end of a prayer, she says, but I have found Jesus. I find him when I'm crying as I lie in his shadow. And I hear him whisper to me, I don't think it's fair either. Wonderful, eh? It's not always fair, but Jesus is always there if we look for him. Nō reira, kumo tēnei kōrero ki a koutou. That's all I have to say this morning. May God bless you all.
Always awesome, Daryl. Always awesome. Please stand for our next song.